From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet, and this is Idaho Matters. If you spent time in Idaho's forest, chances are you've seen a white bark pine. This native tree is found across the Pacific Northwest, and it can live to be more than 1,000 years old. And along with its beauty, the white bark helps stabilize the soil around it, and it feeds several kinds of animals. But the tree, unfortunately, is in trouble thanks to a variety of factors. And late last year, it was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. So we wanted to know more about the white bark, so we asked Joshua Urati to join us. He serves as Species Program Manager and Policy Advisor for the Idaho Office of Species Conservation. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. Glad to be here.
So let's just start with a simple question. What is the white bark pine, and what exactly does it look like?
So white bark pine is the only stone pine in North America of 5 species worldwide. And when they talk about stone pine, they mean there's these indehiscent seed cones that like remain essentially closed at maturity. And so some of the animals that that we'll talk about later have to actually pry the seeds out of those cones to get them. They don't open up like other pines. If you look at the tree, it has 5 needles per cluster. It's about typically ranges from about 16 feet all the way up to 66 feet tall, depending on where you're finding it. It can have single or multiple stems. So in different areas, it can look like your typical conifer tree. And then in other times, they have multiple stems, almost like a shrub. The tops, once it reaches maturity, is kind of irregularly shaped and like has a spreading crown. So it doesn't have as much biomass, you know, needles or leaves up top like other trees.
So
very slow growing and long lived. I guess that's another thing that and you talked about that a little bit earlier.
So then where exactly does it grow? Because it is native to Idaho.
Yep, native to Idaho. It's a high elevation tree, so occurs at high elevations. It is shade intolerant, so it doesn't really tolerate other trees crowding it out. It can tolerate really poor soils and steep slopes and windy exposures. So lots of times you'll find it at that subalpine level. So just below a tree line on the mountain or leading up to where there's not very many trees up high on the mountain. In Idaho, we find it about 6,000 feet above sea level and above. 70% of its range is in the U.S. and 30% of its range is in British Columbia. It, depending on where it's at in its range, it can receive as little as 20 inches of precipitation annually, all the way up to 100 inches of precipitation. So wide variety there. 88% of the land where the species occurs is federally owned or managed in the U.S. And so the majority of those lands are Forest Service or National Park Service lands.
And I know it's called a keystone species. So what does that mean exactly?
So a keystone species is, you know, one of the foundational species of the ecosystem where that species increases the biodiversity and contributes to some critical ecosystem functions.
And what does that mean in regards to perfect.
So some of those ecosystem functions are like stabilizing soils and reducing runoff, creating snow drifts around the trees. So, you know, there's later moisture and it provides, because of that shade, it provides nutritious seeds for several birds and mammals. Like the Clark's Nutcracker is one of the main dispersal mechanisms for the species. It takes the seeds out of the cones and then stashes them places, as well as, you know, red squirrels do that as well. And then creatures like grizzly bears raid those caches. And so they, they help all those things. So that, yeah, that keystone species kind of acts in all those different ways. You know, it sometimes it's the first conifer after a fire or a disturbance. It's the first conifer on that starts growing to stabilize those soils. And then once it's mature, starts really holding that snow so it can last longer through the year. So we have more moisture.
And what would you say is the more, one of the most important features or attributes of this tree?
I think the one of the most important is the function it has to support all the other species I talked about in the ecosystem. I mean, it provides habitat, it provides food, and then, I mean, being a terrestrial species guy, I think, I'd focus on those animals and how it can help them.
So the white pine bark is, as I mentioned in the beginning of our interview, is that it's been struggling. So can we talk about the white pine blister rust? What is it? And then how does that impact the tree?
Yeah, so white pine blister rust is a fungus, actually, and it's native to the Asian continent. And it was introduced in the early 1900s to North America. And it actually spreads to 5-needle pines. That's what it spreads to, as well as these alternate hosts it has. So currant berry and gooseberry, those are shrubs. And so white pine blister rust, this fungus, can't spread from pine to pine, but it goes from pines and infects these ribes, so gooseberries and currants, infects their leaves, and then the rust goes from those leaves and has some interactions with they're called basidiospores, and so those spores interact with the fungus on the bottom of the leaves, and then that carries it. Those spores then are carried to the other pines. So there's this kind of cycle that goes from the pine to the shrubs, back to the pines to infect new things.
And I know that there are other threats to the white bark pine. So what about things like wildfires or drought or even warmer temperatures? Is that impacting this tree?
Yeah. So, when wildfire was naturally present on the landscape, it burned through areas and almost create a mosaic across the landscape where there's openings and trees in certain areas are thinned out and they're growing at a natural spacing. And so white bark pine has taken advantage of this over the years, or evolved with this, and that's how it takes advantage of its competitors. It actually has a thinner crown. So up top, like I was talking about, doesn't have as much foliage up top, and it has a deeper root system. So when a low intensity fire comes through, when the forests are not overstocked, it can survive the fire when it's mature, where other species can't because they have so much needles and leaves up top to try to support, and their root systems aren't as deep. And so these fire exclusion policies where we haven't had the natural fire occurrences, and now they burn hotter and bigger because of the overly dense forests, that actually works against the white bark pine, because these forest fires clear out large areas
I've only got about 2 minutes left with you. So I do want to know, in that amount of time, what can people do? I mean, what can be done, right now to help save this tree?
Yeah. So right now the Forest Service, BLM and others are working, and they collect seeds and from different areas that are blister pine resistant, that they see naturally or blister pine resistant. So volunteering with those federal agencies or state agencies to help plant those species in areas where the the agencies don't have enough manpower to plant would be a good thing. Get out there and volunteer.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time today and for talking to us more about this and bringing this to our attention. It's really appreciated.
Yeah, no worries. Have a great day.
You too. We've been talking with Joshua Urati. He's a species program manager and policy advisor for the Idaho Office of Species Conservation. We've been talking about the white bark pine tree and the fact that it is endangered right now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.